Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo 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 Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Narayana Namaskritya.
Narayana Namaskritya.
Chaiva Narottamam. Devim Sarasvatim Vyasam. Tato Jayanti Rai. Nashtaprayeshu Abhadreshu. Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya.
Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya.
Bhagavati Uttama Shloke. Bhakti Bhagavati Nishtiki. Then we continue to read from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 4, Chapter 12, titled Dhruva Maharaja Goes Back to Godhead, text number 14. Evam Bahu Sarvam Kalam. Mahatma Abhichalendriya.
Mahatma Abhichalendriya.
Trivaiko Paikyam Nitva.
Trivaiko Paikyam Nitva.
Putraya Dham Nirvasanam.
Putraya Dham Nirvasanam.
Evam Bahu Sarvam Kalam.
Evam Bahu Sarvam Kalam. Mahatma Vichalendriya.
Trivaido
Vayikam Nitva. Putraya Dham Vipassanam.
Evam Bahu Sarvam Kalam.
Evam Bahu Sarvam Kalam. Mahatma Vichalendriya.
Trivargam Aupakyam Nitva.
Trivargam Aupakyam
Nitva. Putraya Dham Vipassanam.
Putraya Dham Vipassanam.
Word to word. Evam.
Evam.
Thus.
Bahu.
Bahu.
Many.
Savam.
Savam.
Yes.
Yes.
Kalam.
Kalam.
Time.
Time.
Mahatma, great soul,
great soul.
Avichala Indriyaha,
Avichala Indriyaha.
Without being disturbed,
without being disturbed.
By sense agitation,
by sense agitation.
Trivarga,
Trivarga.
Three
kinds of
worldly activities,
worldly activities.
Aupakyam,
Aupakyam.
Favorable for executing.
Favorable for executing.
Nitva.
Nitva.
Having passed.
Having passed.
Utraya.
Utraya.
To his son.
To his son.
Adar.
Adar.
He handed over.
He handed over.
Vipassanam.
Vipassanam.
The royal throne.
The royal throne.
Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. The self-controlled great soul Dhruva Maharaja thus passed many, many years favorably executing three kinds of worldly activities, namely religiosity, economic development, and satisfaction of all material desires. Thereafter, he handed over the charge of the royal throne to his son. Perfection of material life is suitably attained by the process of observing religious principles. This leads automatically to successful economic development, and thus there is no difficulty in satisfying all material desires. Since Dhruva Maharaja, as a king, had to keep up the status quo, or it would not have been possible to rule over the people in general, he did it perfectly. But as soon as he saw that his son was grown up and could take charge of the royal throne, he immediately handed over the charge and retired from all material engagements. One word used here is very significant, avichalendriyaha, which means that he was not disturbed by the agitation of the senses, nor was his sensory power diminished, although in years he was very old man. Since he ruled over the world for 36,000 years, naturally one may conclude that He became very, very old, but factually his senses were very young, and yet he was not interested in sense gratification. In other words, he remained self-controlled. He performed his duties perfectly according to the materialistic way. That is the way of behavior of great devotees. Srila Raghunatha Das Goswami, one of the direct disciples of Lord Chaitanya, was the son of a very rich man. Although he had no interest in enjoying material happiness, when he was entrusted with doing something in managing the state, he did it perfectly. Srila Gaurasundara advised him, "From within, keep yourself and your mind completely aloof, but externally execute the material duties just as they need to be done." This transcendental position can be achieved by devotees only, as described in the Bhagavad Gita. While others such as yogis try to control their senses by force, devotees, even though possessing full sensory powers, do not use them because they engage in higher transcendental activities. respecting his spiritual masters. And that's how, that's the platform in which Guru Maharaj started off. But although in this chapter we can see how he has gone past the neophyte stage to the Madhyama Adhikari, from Kanishka to Madhyama, and then to Uttama Adhikari. The qualities of Kanishka are described in 1147. A devotee who faithfully engages in the worship of the deity in the temple but does not behave properly toward other devotees or people in general is called a prakruta bhakta, a materialistic devotee, and is considered to be in the lowest position. So the ambition of Guru Maharaj when he started out was materialistic. The intention was not pure. But still that propensity was directed towards worshipping the deity and then to give him the mantra and the process. And that strong determination was channeled towards worshipping Lord Narayana. At that time, Narayana gave a crucial instruction which actually made Guru Maharaj feel that this standard is a bit too much for me. So let's look at that particular verse, which after which Guru Maharaj said, this doesn't suit my spirit. This is from 4.8.34. Every man should act like this. When he meets a person more qualified than himself, he should be very pleased. When he meets someone less qualified than himself, he should be compassionate towards him. And when he meets someone equal to himself, he should make friendship with him. In this way, one is never affected by the threefold miseries of this material world. Gunadikan mudavulipse anukrosham gunadama maitrim samanat anvichen na tapair abhi bhuyate. So in that purport, Prabhupada explains how generally when we find someone more qualified, we become envious. When we find someone less qualified, we try to lord over them. And when we find somebody equal, we try to show off our activity, we become proud. Whereas Narada Muni is telling the other way. Even though initially Guru Maharaj rejected this, said that it's too much, later on, by following the instructions of Narada Muni gradually, he was able to purify himself, give up those material desires. So to that extent, when the Lord appeared before him, he says, Swamin Krito Tasmi Varam Nache. What I was asking was like a broken piece of glass. I don't want this kingdom. But because he started off in the platform of desires, the Lord still gave him the kingdom and asked him to rule. So in the transformation that's happening in the heart of Guru Maharaj, when he returns back, we can see how he is able to respect the other devotees. He was not malicious towards his stepmother or his stepbrother. The transformation of consciousness is clearly seen. And that kind of leads us to look at the qualities of a Madhyama Adhikari, which is given in 11.2.46. An intermediate or second class devotee called Madhyama Adhikari offers his love to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He is a sincere friend to all the devotees of the Lord, shows mercy to ignorant people who are innocent, and disregards those who are envious of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Ishwaretat adineshu balisheshu vishashtucha prema maitri kripa upeksha yakaroti sa madhyama. It's very similar to the instruction which Naraduni gave Guru Maharaj initially. And we can see how these qualities are starting to manifest in Guru Maharaj. And in this chapter, it is seen that how Guru Maharaj was naturally getting detached, and he started to see how this entire world belongs to the Lord. And all of them are the Lord's properties. And he uses the Ishavasham principle where he is seeing it all belongs to the Lord, it came from the Lord, I accept what is in my quota, and I still execute my duty as a king, although he is internally very, very renounced. Earlier purpose described how he gave charity to the citizens and he almost emptied his treasury. So he started to see the Lord in every living being. One who sees me everywhere and everything in me. I am never lost to him, nor is he ever lost to me. So, in that way, we can gradually see the transformation of consciousness. And the earlier verses in this chapter describe how Dhruva Maharaj was rendering devotional service to the Lord with unrelenting force. And that time he could see that everything is situated in the Lord, and the Lord is situated in all living entities. And that Lord who never fails to protect his devotees, Guru Maharaj's faith is at this point at the level of a Uttamadhikari. His vision is that of a Uttamadhikari where he is seeing the Lord everywhere. Let's go back to the symptoms of a Uttamadhikari 11-45. Where it says, the most advanced devotee sees within everything the soul of all souls, the supreme personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna. Consequently, he sees everything in relation to the Supreme Lord and understands that everything that exists is eternally situated within the Lord. At the same time, Guru Maharaj is ruling a kingdom, he has to perform the duties. That's why he did not want to disturb the minds of his citizens by encouraging them to give up all the sacrifices. Just to set an example and not to disturb the minds of his citizens who may not be as qualified as him, he still went ahead and did sacrifices. And he knows who is the actual enjoyer of all those sacrifices, Bhoktaram, Yajnitamasam. In that consciousness, he is internally renounced, but then externally he is carrying out those activities is as per his role. That's what is described in this particular purport, where he is following the Dharma. Perfection of material life is suitably attained by the process of observing religious principles, which is Dharma. And this automatically leads to economic development, Artha. And after you fulfill all your material desires, Kama, in a proper regulated way, then you get renounced and then you go towards Moksha. Interestingly, Dhruva Maharaj, when he offered prayers to the Lord, he called him as the Purushartha Murti. Let's look at that verse, that prayer, where he is offering prayers to the Lord. And he calls the Lord as the goal of life. Although Purushartha generally means this Dharma, Artha, Kama and Moksha, in that purport, Srila Prabhupada translates Purushartha as the real goal of life. Let's look at what Prabhupada says in that purport 4.9.17. The Lord is addressed herein by Dhruva Maharaj as Purushartha Murti, the ultimate goal of life. Generally, Purushartha is taken to mean execution of a type of religious principle or worship of God in order to get material benediction. Here is where Prabhupada puts his sutra-like statement. Prayers for material benediction are intended for satisfying the senses. That's the initial motive. Like, I want to be greater than my grandfather and I want to prove that I am better. So that's all that was the initial motivation, but at this point, Guru Maharaj is cleansed of all those desires. So Prabhupada writes, prayers for material benediction are intended for satisfying the senses. And when one is frustrated and cannot fully satisfy the senses, he desires liberation. These activities are generally called purushartha. Then Prabhupada goes on to explain how Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has given something higher, panchama purushartha, where he gives bhakti, the pure devotional service derives even liberation. So bhakti becomes the ultimate goal of life, pleasing the Lord becomes ultimate goal of life, and Lord Chaitanya instructs us not to ask the Lord for any material benediction. Na dhanam, na janam, na sundarim. One should simply pray to the Lord for constant devotional service. So that's how we understand the consciousness progression of Guru Maharaj. But simultaneously, he was fulfilling the duties of a king. He did not want to change things drastically. He did not want to challenge the status quo. And in this purport, Srila Prabhupada gives the example of Srila Raghunath Das Goswami. As you all know, Raghunath Das Goswami was son of a rich business person. And initially, Raghunath Das Goswami wanted to join Lord Chaitanya and give up his worldly activities. And it is described in that section of Chaitanya Charitamrita how many times Raghunath Das Goswami would run away from his home and his parents would bring him back. And then they even got him married. Still, he was attached to the feet of Lord Gauranga. And that's when, at that situation, Mahaprabhu gave him this advice. That this is in CC Antya 6.13-15. This was a transformation of consciousness which Raghunath Das Goswami had after he met Mahaprabhu and he was asked to go back. Instead of becoming a so-called renunciant, Raghunath Dasa, following the instructions of the Lord, returned home and played exactly like a pounds and shillings man. So, he was asked not to follow the Markata Vairagya, monkey renunciation, but by the instructions of Mahaprabhu, he was asked to behave as if he is a man who is attached to wealth, but internally, as described in the purport, Mahaprabhu instructed him to be completely detached and act in a family life so that your family members do not get disturbed. Raghunath Das was inwardly completely renounced even in family life, but he did not express his renunciation externally. Instead, he acted just like an ordinary businessman. Seeing this, his father and mother were satisfied. This is a key lesson for devotees who are feeling that renunciation in the initial stages of bhakti, and they will have this strong impetus to give up things. But in those situations, it is better to take instructions from spiritual master. In this case, Mahaprabhu himself is instructing Raghunath Das Goswami. You should not disturb your family members so much so that they develop negative feelings towards the movement of Mahaprabhu. Rather, you are asked to act externally and do things in a very expert way so that your father and mother are satisfied. So that's exactly how Raghunath Das acted. And here we, in this current example, we also see how Dhruva Maharaj did not want to disturb the minds of his citizens. And he was executing all those dharmartha kama purushartha. But internally he had his goal fixed on the feet of the Lord, and he has personally gone through the transformation from a neophyte, from a kanishta to madhyama, and at this stage he's in a uttama platform and he's seeing the Lord everywhere. Now, how is he able to do this is by controlling his senses. Interestingly, it's not that the old age made Dhruva Maharaj sense controlled. He still had full sensory power, as described in the purport. We have seen how he has lived for a long duration, but that did not diminish his sensory power. But despite his sensory power, he is still divine, detached from his senses. Now, where did he get his strength from? So, when we go back and see that this is a famous Vaishnava prayer, where Ohe Vaishnava Thakura Doyala Sagara, in that Vaishnava song, the prayer goes where you pray to that Vaishnavas to take you out of the anarthas which are there, chaya, vega, gopi. So all those unwanted things that are there in me, please take them away. And you please give me all the good qualities. And in another Vaishnava prayer, which is directly addressed to the spiritual master, Gurudev Kripabhimudiya, there it is said, O Lord and Master, please invest me with the power to honor all living beings properly. Only then I will sing the holy name in great ecstasy, free of offenses. So, how do we get to the platform of executing those worldly activities, respecting others, who are all those criteria which Narada Muni said, respecting the seniors, being compassionate to juniors, and friendly with the equals? How do we get all that? Is by constant prayers to the spiritual master and the other Vaishnavas, whereby we are able to control our senses. A person who is able to control his senses will be able to respect others and thereby get their blessings. So, in that prayer, Gurudev Kripabhimudiya Poroho Edase Trinapeka Ati Inam. So in the second section it says, Sakale Samana Korite Shakati Devanata Yata Yata. O Lord and Master, please invest me with the power to honor all living beings properly. So to control our senses, we pray to the spiritual master and the Vaishnavas to get the strength to respect others properly, to honor all living beings properly. We again pray to the Vaishnavas and the spiritual master to give that strength. Thereby, you break that cycle where, okay, to be spiritual, you need to be sense controlled, and then only if you have sense control, then you can progress in spiritual life. Like, where do I start? Is by starting to pray to the spiritual master to give sense control and give that strength to respect others. Thereby, you gain the strength to honor other living beings, to be able to see that they are also part and parcel of the Lord. And by gaining that attitude of respect to others, you transform from that Kanishta platform to Madhyama platform. So being able to see others also as part and parcel of the Lord, being able to give them proper respect and honor, you are personally transforming from a Kanishta platform to a Madhyama platform. This particular song personally helped me a lot to make that shift. Every time my consciousness goes low, I take shelter of these songs where you are constantly put in the mode of prayer, and you pray to your spiritual master and other Vaishnavas to give you that strength to go through all the trials and tribulations, and give you the strength to respect other devotees. to control your own senses, which are otherwise very hard to control. And thereby you can also personally see that you are able to gradually respect your seniors without envying them. You are not competing with your equals but being friendly. And with those who are less qualified, instead of developing an attitude of hatred or contempt, you start to show compassion to them. So thereby you are able to also execute your external material duties and set an example for others. So by setting the right example for others and by leading them to a proper way, you are properly doing your duty. Srimad Bhagavatam, being an excellent teacher, it gives a nice analogy to understand what happens if a person does not do his duty, even though he is a very spiritually exalted person. Gives the example of how a water kept in a pot and has got a hole in it, the water is naturally going to go out. Even though a person has got a lot of spiritual potency, if he does not lead his fellow men who are dependent on him in the right path, just when it is needed, his spiritual potency will also diminish and gradually go away, just as a water in a pot which has got a hole naturally gives out all the water and loses everything. So that comes up in this fourth canto. It's given as an example where the brahmanas step up and do their role, their duty. Here you can see how Dhruv Maharaj, even though he has that spiritual potency, he was able to even shake the whole planet by his austerity. That was the amount of power he had. And despite that, when he was asked to give up his fight against the Akshas, when Sarangumam advised him, he stopped. He did not argue back. And then when Kubera came and gave his audience and gave benediction, again he respected him and took that benediction. And also we can see in spiritual life, even if you are liberated, you are assured of going back to Godhead, there is always challenges. First challenge was for Guru Maharaj was his own attitude. He overcame that challenge by taking instruction from Narada Muni. Then he employed his determination and strength in doing devotional service. And then when he saw the Lord, we say, okay, we may think that his challenges are over now, he has seen the Lord. Now he is completely purified. Now the next challenge comes up where you are given a responsibility even after seeing the Lord. So, you are able to overcome the further challenges by being in a mood of willing to receive feedback from others. That nature of Dhruva Maharaj was evident when he was willing to take advice from Swayambhu Manu, and thereby he overcame the next challenge, which is anger. So by being able to take others' advice and being able to show respect to seniors and take their advice and stop, which is very hard to control his own anger, he overcame the next challenge of not killing the Yakshas left, right and center. He stopped. And one may think, okay, now his challenges are gone, but now then the temptation in the form of the benediction offered by Kubera. Kubera said, I can give you any benediction, ask for it. So Guru Maharaj, at that time also, so pure bhakti, you get challenges internally, and when you overcome the internal challenges, you will be moved to the next challenge, and then in terms of opulence, wealth, honor, he overcame that challenge also by being fixed. I want only constant remembrance of the Lord. And by having this constant attitude of being equipoised and also having sense control, being respectful to others, he overcame the biggest challenge of committing a Vaishnava aparadha, which is offending Kubera and thereby agitating Lord Shiva also. Whereas in the contrast, we see how even though good advice was given to Daksha and he was advised not to curse Lord Shiva, because of his attitude of not listening and not being sense controlled, he committed that serious offense against Lord Shiva. Whereas here we can see how Dhruva Maharaj, by exhibiting those qualities and undergoing the transformation internally, even though he started off in a platform of full material desires, he passed through those challenges with the blessings of other devotees, with the initial potency invested by Narada Muni, and then later challenges he overcame by his own personal behavior. And he was constantly fixed in the ultimate goal, which is remembering the Lord. Because all these dharma, artha, kama, moksha, all these activities are there to elevate you to that platform where you are always able to remember Krishna and never forget him. Smartavya satatam Vishnu, vismartavya vajatashi, sarve vidhi nishedasu, etayo eva kinkara. So he was always fixed in that goal, and he knows that this purushartha is meant to satisfy the Lord, and thereby he was internally renounced but then externally active, doing his duty. And by doing his duty as a king and helping those innocent people and leading them in a proper way, he did not lose his spiritual power also. So one may get a lot of blessings, but then afterwards there will be challenges which may take away those blessings. So one has to guard himself with these saintly qualities, and especially sense control. Now the next part of the I will focus on sense control from Bhagavad Gita, where Krishna advises about how to control the senses, and that's the point which Srila Prabhupada mentions, how Bhakti Yogi is able to control the senses. And in the case of Dhruva Maharaj also, we see he was getting the higher taste by following the process given by Narada Muni, by worshipping, by doing those austerities. That's how sense control is encouraged in the, for Bhakti Yogis, rather than artificially trying to control the senses. Now, in the third chapter of Gita, Prabhupada gives a good starting point for a neophyte, how he must begin the process of sense control. This is in 3.42, where in the purport Prabhupada explains, a neophyte spiritualist is generally advised to keep aloof from the objects of the senses. But aside from that, one has to strengthen the mind by use of intelligence. If by intelligence one engages one's mind in Krishna consciousness, by complete surrender to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, then automatically the mind becomes stronger. So, first step, Prabhupada is for a neophyte, general advice is to keep aloof from the senses. Then, we don't stop at that level, because Krishna, in the earlier verses described, the lust sits in different places, the senses, the mind, then the intelligence. So now Prabhupada is giving steps how to overcome that and how to be sense controlled. He is giving a bottom-up and a top-down approach as well. Rather than artificially trying to control the senses, one has to go through regulations which are favorable for excluding devotional service. So a neophyte is asked to keep aloof from the senses, and simultaneously he must engage his mind in devotional activity. Savai mana Krishna padaravindayo. So when the mind is engaged in devotional activities, even though the senses are very strong, because the mind being the controller of the center, the epicenter of the senses, when that is focused in devotional activities, then it becomes stronger and the senses are compared to serpents without teeth. So that's the second approach Prabhupada mentions. And then how do we strengthen the intelligence? Because intelligence being the next lower neighbor of the soul, if the intelligence becomes lusty, Prabhupada explains, that will influence the soul to identify with the body and take up the false ego. So intelligence has to be constantly strengthened by spiritual knowledge, thereby this process of Shravanam, Kirtanam and reading. Now this process keeps the intelligence sharp. With that spiritual intelligence, you engage your mind in spiritual activities, and because only thing that satisfies the soul is Krishna consciousness, because the soul is experiencing what it actually wants. By that sense of satisfaction, you don't engage in other activities, because you have experienced a higher taste, you give up your lower taste, and thereby you follow the approach of a top-down where you are spiritually nourished, your intelligence is sharpened, and still at the same time your senses and mind are also kept under control. It's like a bottom-up and a top-down approach where you control your senses by regulative activities, do bhakti, and each one of us has to look out for those spiritual activities which nourishes them, which gives them that strength. It's different for different people. So that's why our founder Acharya has given us a variety of engagements in bhakti. So depending on each one's nature, you will be attracted to some kind of activity in bhakti. You start doing that, and then when you start doing that in the association of like-minded devotees who are sincere and more spiritually advanced and serious, then you will be able to get that higher taste. Gaining that, you will be able to control the senses. Because we are not international society for sense control, we are international society for Krishna consciousness. So by that is the main focus. Then by focusing on getting that higher taste, then the other objectives are achieved. That's how you understand that Guru Maharaj was not disturbed by his senses, even though he had full sensory power. And at the right time came, he handed over his kingdom to his son. So thereby we see that journey of Guru Maharaj, when he started off as a neophyte. But then, by taking the instruction of the spiritual master to heart and openly expressing his shortcomings, by following the process strictly, he overcame that initial strength, initial challenge of his own weakness, the challenges which are inside. Then he was given this kingdom, he ruled over it, then he overcame the challenge of committing Vaishnava Aparad by having a respectful attitude and being willing to listen to others and take their advice. Then the other challenge of external temptations by demigods, when they were given a big post or anything, a lot of wealth, he overcame that. And now it is time for him to leave. He's handing over his kingdom to his son, by thereby setting the example that worldly activities have to be done, even though you are internally so much attached to the Lord, you still have to act as per what the as per in a way that you don't disturb the mind of others. So that's how receive Guru Maharaj's personal journey. Hare Krishna. Stop here. See if there are any comments, questions related to what we discussed. Facebook.
You mentioned Aparada. At what point was Dhruva Maharaj being offensive?
Yeah, it was mentioned that Kubera is getting agitated, then Lord Shiva will also get agitated. So that's when Swayambhu Manu comes and tells the scenario, the action that you're doing is going to affect others who are also devotees, so demigods are devotees of the Lord.
But not before that. Are we saying then that he was a neophyte at that point? Still? And so therefore, because Kanishtha Adhikari is somebody who doesn't know how to deal with others, right? Or deal with the devotees. So we can assume that they commit offences as a consequence. Right? So even at that point, even though Dhruva Maharaj is always thinking of Krishna, which is a symptom of a very elevated mood, at the same time, he still had the tendency to not behave properly, so therefore he's still a Kanishtha Adhikari.
It's not like a black and white, it's a grey area where you still have those tendencies. But then he was put in a situation and he got overwhelmed by that situation. And if this example shows that even if you are so exalted, certain situations may overwhelm you. He thought it's the duty of a Kshatriya to fight and kill those people who have killed my brother. Then he went overboard, and then initially, when reading that sequence, he challenged the Yakshas, and then the Yakshas created an illusion. At that time also he was overwhelmed, and then the sages came and advised him and gave him the Narayanaskara. So he got that power. So had he stopped by just killing those Yakshas who challenged him and created the illusion and stepped back, so then there was no... So, you challenge somebody and they challenge you back and you kill them and come back, that's it. So, but then with that potency he went on killing multiples. So one Yaksha offended you or killed your brother, you went to challenge and they challenge you. And then when the Kshatriya is challenged, he has to fight back. So if he has stopped there and returned to his kingdom, then it was okay. But then he got overwhelmed by the Kshatriya spirit. That's when the time woman had to come and tell.
So still influenced by that Kanishtha
tendencies of
tendency.
Because of forgetting the Lord and not seeing them as part and parcel of the Lord. So that's why when I was going through this whole sequence, I felt that devotee association is important.
Even
at that level,
you make mistakes.
Yes, even if you're
even he's already seen Lord Vishnu.
Yes.
So yet, despite the fact that he sees Lord Vishnu, which would indicate a very elevated devotee, right?
Yes.
Still he made a mistake. Of course, Krishna says, I can check the right, well, you know, even if the devotee makes a mistake. If he sticks to the process of Krishna consciousness, you know, Sahabhakti, he's still considered to be perfect.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah.
Which is it's like, ooh, okay. No, what platform are we, because it's interesting because we see symptoms of a Uttama, and we see symptoms of Kanishtha.
Yeah, he is going through the transformation and At this stage, in this chapter, is clearly exhibiting Uttama, and then later verses also will describe he goes to Badrikashram and all that. And during that episode of fight with the Yakshas, that he was overwhelmed by the challenge, that first illusory power, then he gets the Narayanastra, then he goes overboard.
One has to be careful.
So, you slip from that Madhyama platform to... And that's when, instead of protecting the citizens, this is what the king is meant to do. So, you're killing unnecessary. So, unnecessary killing is not recommended. So, what did you have your hand up? Question?
Yeah, I was just thinking as you were talking. Earlier on, because when Kudera actually approaches Yuga Maharaj, he starts speaking about how much he's a pure devotee already. He glorifies Vami. You know, he had that on the Lord and the Lord side of the Lord, etc. And he goes to speak that you're actually not responsible for all of this. The time collector is responsible for all these killings. However, it was your duty as a king to show the citizen that yes, you are going to protect them, therefore you went out and killed after your brother had been unceremoniously killed as well. And when I was trying to relate it back to when you have different services for the pleasure of the Lord, sometimes as a leader or a manager, we have to show anger. But that doesn't necessarily mean that you're exhibiting a kind of sentimentality. It's part of your duty. You wear the duty of being a devotee, but at the same time, things have to go on, and there are bounds with which you encourage the boys to go in sankirtan or manage properly or so many different things.
Sweep the floor.
Sweep the floor, pick up the flowers, whatever it is part, it is a duty of a devotee who's managing a temple or a roster. It doesn't necessarily mean that they're being promiscuous. Does that make sense? So I'm kind of like, next time I see someone do something, oh, this is, you're being a curse, so why But everything has its place, I think.
If you take a stick out and start whacking everybody who didn't play before, then you might be in trouble.
Yeah, that's an interesting point. Like, so as part of doing a duty, even a spiritual master chastises, so that doesn't mean he is punished. So he's using anger or peace, so I see that point.
Yeah.
A person in power, he has to correct others, so he's using anger.
Just like Krishna might say to his dad when he's getting told off, why are you getting angry? You're just a Kanishtha Adhikara, you can't tell me what to do. I'm a devotee. You should be merciful to me, not get angry. And you see that with Lord Srinidhar, look how angry he got. Now there's a big thing going around ripping people apart. And even if a Christian gets angry.
What was Dhruva Maharaj's son's name?
What was that?
What was Dhruva Maharaj's son's name?
Oh, I don't know whether that's even mentioned. It's just mentioned in this verse.
You know, Anga. Okay.
That's brother. Huh? This is Uttam, that one brother.
Brother was Uttam.
There's probably, in the back of the Bhagavatam, there's a genealogical table. You can have a look in there. This is a question you can answer yourself by looking it up in the book. It's one of those details.
Yeah, Dhruva is a Brahmi and Ila.
Ila. Ila.
Ila gives birth to Utkala and a daughter. Okay, and also.
So, what's his son's name?
Brahmi and Ila.
Ila. Two sons. And Ila is the one who was, because it's called Ila Vita Varsha. Is that him?
I don't know. I have to check if that's named after him or not.
Yeah.
Stop here. Rantraksuna Bhagavatam Kijaya Sri Prabhupada Ki.